Now, here's another thing I want you to do. I know you're your uncle's nephew, but I want you to get your nose out of this case right now.
I will.
You will what?
Stop involving myself in this case. With the cop's directness, she wanted our understanding pinned down. She said,
don't get me wrong. I appreciate the fact you passed this information along to me, and I will look into it, and I will be discreet. You can call me again if anything else drops in your lap, and I mean drops in. But I want no more investigating on your part.
Understood, I said.
So what did you find out about Dean Simmons?
Parker,
what did I just get through telling you?
All right, don't tell me.
Fine, I will tell you this much. It was a dog bite.
How do you know?
I had someone visit the clinic and talk to the doctor who stitched him up. He said it was definitely canine, not human.
Well, how could he tell for sure? Is that all you have, the doctor's statement?
Yes, and I believe him.
Is the dog in quarantine?
I thought dogs had to be quarantined if they bit somebody.
Not if the dog has been vaccinated.
They would have to check with a vet to find that out, wouldn't they?
The doctor said the dean told her that he had encountered an old lady walking her dog on the Amsterdam overpass. He said he bent down to pet the dog, and the dog bit him.
I asked, what kind of dog? What did the old lady look like?
Why, are you going to question them?
No, but I can keep my eyes open. I might question the old lady if I see her. I often use that overpass.
Parker, I don't want you involved.
This wouldn't be involvement. I'll just keep my eyes open.
All right. You can do that much.
I don't have a description of the old lady, but I can tell you what Dean Simmons told the doctor about the dog, and you should have no trouble spotting it. The dog was a golden cocker spaniel, dressed in a red knit sweater and a red tam-o'-shanter hat.
How degrading. No wonder it bit somebody. That shouldn't be too difficult to spot. I'll keep my eyes open.
Okay, if you see a dog matching that description, you can ask the old lady if it bit the dean. Otherwise, stay out of it. I mean it. You're on probation with me now, too.
I went off to my morning classes. At noontime, back at my room, I was eating my usual jar of applesauce and carton of dates when I suddenly remembered to call Aunt Ruth.
Hi, Aunt Ruth.
Her voice was tinged with consternation.
Oh, Parker, I'm glad it's you and not that horrible Mrs. Tarkington again. I was just talking with her.
The Tarkingtons were her neighbors, abutting the backside of her property.
Why? What's the problem?
It's that dog of yours. It's Zeus. He went over the back wall. He got the Tarkingtons' poodle pregnant, and they are upset about it. They expect me to pay puppy support.
It's not my fault they let the bitch out while she was in heat.
Aunt Ruth,
such language.
That is not improper, Parker, and you know it. That is merely the correct word for what she is.
Your neighbor?
No, the poodle.
Now, I hope you're calling to tell me you're coming home for Thanksgiving.
I can't.
Oh, Parker, why not? I've already made reservations for Lonnie Kim.
Well, let her come anyway.
She won't be coming if you're not. Why can't you?
I informed her about Blackwell's invitation and about Dean Simmons' insistence on my showing up, or else. I recited Blackwell's credentials and repeated what Professor Hopkins had said about Blackwell having made inquiries into my character. I concluded with what Professor Hopkins had remarked about Blackwell, that if he took a liking to me, my future was assured.
Aunt Ruth got all excited about this and agreed I definitely must go.
By all means, this is too important. We'll do this another time.
I heard a knock outside my door. Aunt Ruth, somebody's at the door. I gotta go. I'll call you back.
Who's there? I don't know. I'll call you. As I hung up, Aunt Ruth's voice was trailing off. Parker, you're not forgetting about Lonnie Kim, are you?